So we have studied most of this book. We are in the last two or three verses. And having studied something new, two things come to mind. One is, how can I remember or recall this teaching? How can I apply this in my life? That is number one. And number two is, what is the benefit of this knowledge? Not only of this book, but any spiritual teaching, any book that you read, these are the two questions that come, that I want to remember, I wish to recall, especially at the right moment when there is some stressful situation or when there is a problem or somebody says something and I get angry, I get upset. Then at that moment, I think, I have read all this, I have studied it, you know, I have read it in the Bible, I have studied it in the classes, in the Vedanta. And why am I not able to apply that when the right moment comes? It is because we don't have proper recall. We don't have proper remembrance of the knowledge at the right moment. It's like a doctor, you know, has studied all the medicine, but then when he's faced with a complicated patient, and it's in his specialty, and then suddenly he forgets his knowledge, and at that time he's in the middle of surgery and he freezes. I mean, God forbid it doesn't happen, but but I mean, just giving an example, that if he's not able to recall what he has studied, then it won't be any good. This knowledge I should recollect. And second is, what is the benefit of this knowledge? So what is called as phala shruti. Phala means fruit, and shruti means let me listen. Let me find out the fruit. So we'll do verse number 23, which covers it a little bit. And then if we have time, we'll do verse number 24. 23 is on page 52. Upadeshamimam nityam. Upadeshamimam nityam. Vimrishami punah punah. Vimrishami punah punah. Shamanam chaprapashyami. Chaprapashyami. Malanam tu shanai shanaihi. Malanam tu shanai shanaihi. Upadesha. Upadesha means advice. Upadesha is a very interesting word. Upa means near. Desha means in that location. So when we talk about upadesh, we talk about spiritual advice. Of course, you can get advice from your math teacher, from your golf pro, from, you know, your driving instructor. But here we are talking about spiritual advice. And that can only come when you are close to the teacher. Close, of course, sitting in proximity. But more than that, your mind should be close to the teacher's mind. Your mind should be tuned. And only then, and it's not only in spirituality, but in anything. If you're listening to some talk radio, and if that person is saying something that you agree with, then you pick it up very fast. Oh, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. But if you are a Republican and this guy is a Democrat and saying something ultra-liberal, you say, I don't understand this. Why? Because your mind is not, he may be making perfect sense according to his thinking. So here it says, upadesha means my mind should be tuned with the teacher. And it says, nityam vimrishami. I always, again and again, I have to remember what I have studied. Punah punah. I have to study again and again. I have to remember again and again what I have studied. And then what will happen? Shamanam cha prapashyami. Shamanam means reduction. Prapashyami means I see it very clearly. What? Malanam. The impurities of my mind are slowly, shanai shanaihi, are slowly being reduced by the advice of my teacher and by studying this book. So let us talk a little bit about remembering the teaching. When you study something new, most of the time when you listen to a talk, generally, you at that time it makes sense. Oh, okay, it makes a lot of sense. By the time you're driving home, it still is okay. By the time you reach home and your spouse asks you, what did the speaker say? You probably remember very little, a few sentences, and by next day, you know, it's gone. And next week, forget it. Like if I ask you, what did the speaker who spoke last week, Naina, you probably will remember very little. And why is that? And that's not only for you, it's for everybody. Same is for me. When I listen to a talk from a teacher, the memory is very short term. So how do I strengthen that memory? How do I improve it? So they say that by again and again remembering. So what you have heard today, on your way home, you can repeat it in your mind like a tape. Okay, this is what I heard. Even if you don't remember all the words or all the sentences, maybe you only remember the jokes. But, you know, just recollect what you have studied, the main points. You know, some people make written notes. That is okay. But the problem with the written notes is that it goes from the speaker's mouth to that notebook without stopping anywhere in between. There is no pause. You know, mentally you are not absorbing, you are just writing. In this particular talk, one of the advantages is that thanks to Tony, we put these talks on the internet on firstpower.info. And my advice to you would be that within 3-4 days he puts it. And so even though you have listened one time, just play it again. You can go on firstpower.info and you'll have the talks. And what happens is when you listen to it second time shortly, or if you have made detailed notes, then you read them, then that knowledge becomes firm. And then when the occasion arises, like say somebody said something, and I get angry, and I react, and then we say, no, you should not react, you should respond. There is a difference. React is I just say the first thing that comes to my mind. I say something that offends that person and then I regret it afterwards. But if I respond, even though that person may have provoked me or said something not good, but if I understand what the person's point is and then I respond, then my response is measured. So as you listen to this knowledge, and that's why repeated listening, that's why coming every week to this class, and also when we have teachers who come from different parts of the U.S. to talk, every month we have some speaker, listening to them again and again, even though you say, I have heard this before, I am that, I have heard. But each time you listen to this knowledge, even though you think you have understood, it becomes a little more clear. It becomes a little, and slowly a layer of understanding develops. Like I personally, you know, have been listening seriously and studying this for approximately 20 years. In around early 90s, we started. Before that, I didn't have much. And even then, there are so many ideas that I still feel don't comfortable. I don't feel that even though you don't remember details, you remember the sum total. Like, now you went to school. We all went to school for 12 years plus college, maybe 16 or 18 years, 250 days a year, 8 hours a day. So how many hours? Now, how much of that do you remember? Like if I ask you, what was the color of your algebra book? What was the color of your algebra book in the 8th grade? I don't remember. You took it to school every day, you know, and you opened it every day. It was in your bag. You took it out. You read it. You don't remember? No, we don't remember because it's not important. But what I accumulated in the 1st grade and 2nd grade and 8th and 12th and the math and the geology and the biology and the biochemistry, slowly that built up then whatever my profession was to who I am today. Maybe I'm a doctor or an engineer or an accountant or a teacher or even a housewife. But whatever knowledge I have, whatever I'm doing, whatever business I am in, whatever profession, it's an accumulation of the years of knowledge. And then I can say, okay, I'm good at this. I'm good at doing this or I'm good at doing that. Because of the years of knowledge, of accumulation. So similarly, in spirituality also, even though you don't remember what a teacher had spoken last week or last month or last year, the slowly the knowledge becomes built up. It is like layers of ignorance. You know, it's like they give the example of a car, you know, headlights. Say the car has been covered with tarpaulin or with lot of, has been kept in storage. And you turn on the headlights, you can't see anything because there are layers of covering. And then as you slowly open the layers, the headlights become brighter and brighter and brighter. And finally, you can see it in all brilliance. So similarly, this knowledge of my own self, the nature that I am, this consciousness, is like the light of knowledge. And all the ignorance of not only of this lifetime of ignorance, but what we believe is many lifetimes. But even if you don't believe in many lifetimes, but this ignorance of who I am slowly can be removed by remembering the knowledge, by rereading it, and by listening again and again. And that's why they talk about Shravana, Manana, and Nididhyasana. Shravana means listen. Listen to the teacher or read the book. And the second is Vimrishami, contemplate. As the teacher says in this, contemplate upon it when you go home and think about what I had read or what I had listened. And then the third is to apply that in your worldly life when an occasion arises. So that's why he says, Shamanam cha prapashyami, malanam tu shanai shanai. So slowly, as I apply this knowledge given in this book and by this teacher, Swami Tejomayananda, slowly I find that my impurities of my mind are getting less. Like we have said, suppose anger arises. Then I listen, in this book it has said that anger arises from desire. Okay, so what was it that got me to get angry? There was some unfulfilled desire, some selfish tendency or something that I wanted and I didn't get. And so, okay, so then I trace the root of anger to desire. Okay, now where did the desire come from? He says the desire comes from two. One is from a sense of incompleteness, that I am not good enough. And by getting this object or this person or this job or this position or getting this knowledge, I'll become perfect. And so whatever comes as an obstacle between me and my desire creates anger. Secondly, desire arises from fanciful imaginations. Then I start imagining, if I get this, then what will I do? Where will I go? What will I accomplish? So you have to be very watchful that where did this anger come from? Where did this desire come from? We're not saying that one should not have desire to be successful, but a desire to selfishly get something from somebody at the expense of somebody, which creates, you know, division and which creates problems, those are the desires that one has to watch for. A lot of young people here, of course, you have a desire to be successful and to become a, you know, learn and study and all, those are very good. But when the desire becomes selfish, where you are getting something at the expense of somebody else or harming somebody else, that one has to watch out for. Then this leads to greed. When I get wealth or when I get something, then I want more and more and more. And then my whole life's goal becomes just to acquire this and get this and want this. And then it leads to again conflict and all. So then you again watch back and say, you know, what am I doing with my life? Is my end of my life going to be only this? He was born in so and so date and he accumulated so much wealth. It was worth $1 million and then he died. So what did he accomplish? What is more important is how many people I helped in my life, how many tears I wiped, how much service I did, and how much I spiritually evolved, how much I came closer to my true self, how much I came closer to God who is in the whole of creation. So that is what one should be greedy about. I should want to do more service. I want to chant more mantras. I want to read more books about God. I want to pray to Him longer. I want to visit the places of pilgrimage. I want to meet more saints. So if you want to be greedy, don't be greedy about money or power or house. Be greedy about spirituality. That I want to be more spiritual. Arrogance comes. Pride comes. I am so great. I have accomplished so much. But then at the back of that, you have to understand that whatever you have accomplished, so many people have played a role in it. Your teachers, your parents, God who has given me everything, the ability to work. If I'm in a business, my co-workers, you know, who work for me, my assistants. And so one has to have humility. One has to constantly remember, reduce this sense of ego, I and mine. And remember that there is a higher power that is working through me. And whatever I am accomplishing, I was reading somewhere, even the oxygen that you breathe in and out, I mean, do we do that? No, when you're asleep, the air moves in and the good air, and then it circulates through your body and all the carbon dioxide and all the unwanted, and constantly your body is being cleaned and purified. Who is doing that? What is happening? Am I doing that? So the point is that anytime any negativity comes, arrogance, pride, greed. Talking about arrogance reminds me of a story. There was this man who was a little bit hard of hearing. And so finally he bought a brand new hearing aid and he wanted to show off to his wife. He says, you know what? This is the best hearing aid on the market and I bought it for $1,000. There is no better hearing aid in it. So she said, oh, that's very nice. Not only that, I can hear so clearly, even when I was a little boy, that clearly I can hear. You know, this is the best hearing aid. So his wife said, really? What kind is it? He says, 215. I guess the $1,000 didn't help him too much. So one has to be humble. One has to be modest. One should not show off. And as you become more conscious, so one you have heard, then you have thought about it, and then you applied it in your life. As you apply these spiritual teachings, you find that slowly your mind becomes purer. Your mind becomes quiet. I remember things that used to upset me or agitate me. How do you know that your mind is getting purified? That things that used to bother you before, if they don't, then it means that you are slowly progressing. So it becomes like a yardstick. You can measure your spiritual progress. Okay, this thing used to, like traffic, you know, or somebody cutting me off, or somebody saying something. If it upsets you still, I mean, what is to be upset? Traffic is there. What are you going to do about it? You can't do anything about it. There's no point getting angry at. Here, at least, thank God, we don't have much traffic. You know, I mean, little bit occasionally on Rosedale or Truxton. But if you go to LA and all, and you're stuck for 2 hours, it's okay. It's there. That's fine. So think of that as my time to contemplate. I'm stuck in a traffic jam. Okay, let me chant my mantra and remember God, or just put on some spiritual music and be calm. So it says shanai shanaihi. So the spiritual progress does not happen overnight. It happens slowly and gradually because we have so many impurities, so many vasanas, so many negative tendencies that we have developed that it takes time. But again, it depends on at what stage you start a spiritual journey. Somebody may have done a lot of that before. And for that person, just reading one book or meeting one teacher may be enough. And another person may take more time, you know, you may have to read, may have to apply that. And then also what happens is you progress and then you regress, especially if, say, if you haven't listened to this for a while, or if you used to meditate and then suddenly you stop meditating and for 3 months you don't, you'll find that you will regress. Your mind, which used to be more calmer, will start getting disturbed, your mind. So it happens gradually. It's not going to happen overnight. Suddenly you say my mind should become calm. If suddenly it happens, there can be only 2 reasons. Either you are in a coma or you are on drugs. Those are the only 2 reasons for the mind to become suddenly calm. Otherwise it takes, and if your mind becomes suddenly calm, then what do? Go see a neurologist. Why? Because you know what the neurologist will tell you? that in your left brain there is nothing right, and in your right brain there's nothing left. That's all they'll tell you. So gradually you will find that your mind is improving, your behavior will improve, how you deal with people, how you deal with circumstances. And as you apply this knowledge, as you remember God, you know, that I try at least every morning to start my day by remembering God. As soon as I wake up, the first thing I do is try to chant his name. And then if I get up and watch the sunrise and, you know, feel the sun Lord blessing me. And that is the most wonderful way, by thanking the sun, because it is because of the sun that all these plants are growing and the earth is, even the nowadays it's hot and people complain. But think about it. If there was no sun, we would be a cold planet like Venus or, you know, Uranus or Neptune, and nothing would be growing, nothing. The fact that we are alive, and it's all because of the Lord's grace. So remember him every day. Remember the glory when you see the crescent moon. It's so pretty. That is the Lord's glory. That is the Lord's grace. And throughout the day, take up time to remember and be thankful to God for what he has done. And at the end of the day, that I have said before, when you lie down in your bed, you do a mini meditation. You relax your body, close your eyes, relax your body from head to toe. You observe your breath. And as the breath goes in and out, you chant the mantra. And also just be thankful. Oh Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for, and especially if you have had the opportunity to get this spiritual knowledge, which I feel so grateful that having met all the teachers and all the Swamis that I have met, and all the wonderful teachers, not only of Chinmaya Mission, but also some Western teachers, I feel so grateful that I have this knowledge that I can apply and that I can share with others. So always be grateful, always have gratitude, because we get so much from Lord, we get so much from nature, which we just take for granted. As I said, even the ability to breathe, that the heart is beating constantly, I mean 72 times a minute for 80 years. It's all his grace. So just remember, and slowly as you remember the Lord's name, as you chant his name with love, with devotion, with gratitude, you'll find that your mind will become purer, your mind will become quieter, your mind will become more tuned with the higher, and then you'll realize you'll feel the Lord's presence within, and that is what we do in meditation. So that is how one should study the spiritual literature. Don't just, okay, ho gaya, you know, book is done, you know, throw it in one corner or put it in the shelf, but read it again, think about it, and then only knowledge will benefit you. Otherwise, but if you can remember a little bit of what we discussed, then that will help us a lot. So we have a few minutes. Maybe we can have some questions.
I agree with everything you said. It's true. I mean, I forget things and I pick up the book and I go, that's right.
But also, I think listening to talks, reading is good, because sometimes what, like this verse, Swamiji has given one paragraph, but I spoke for half an hour. So listening to that again on the website, if you can do that, or even not only my talks, but talks by other teachers. There are so many wonderful things available free on the internet. So spend some time every day listening or reading, whatever you can do. In the car, you can listen. If you have downloaded it, if you're at home, you can read. So yeah, constant remembrance. Either nobody heard me or they understood everything. Okay, I'd like to invite Professor Chu. He's very knowledgeable about spirituality, has been studying and also applying this knowledge for many, many years. And he has composed a short poem on devotion or love for God, right? Bhakti?
Today, I'd like to share with you a poem called Bhakti. And this is Bhakti number one. And Bhakti means devotion. Okay. And what we need to have is not just the Vedantic knowledge, although that's very important, but also that love and devotion. Okay. And as Puja Gurudev one time told me that each of us should be like a bird, feel free and soar high in the sky, and have that free spirit. Okay. But in order to fly, a bird must have two wings, right? If just one, you just flopping around, right? You cannot fly. So therefore, Puja Gurudev says that there's the mind and the intellect. Those are the two wings of the bird. And you are the bird. Okay? If you want to fly, then develop strongly two things. Not just the knowledge, the Vedantic knowledge, but also that heart, that devotion. Okay? So how do we do that? Well, let's invoke in ourself from our heart. So this is what I have wrote. It's called Bhakti number one. O Lord, please be not be offended if my trembling hands lack the grace in offering thee oblations. Yet these hands are thy gift, sanctified by thy touch. Humbly, I will use them to lift the offering of love to thy feet. Lovingly, I will cherish my mind, for it has brought me thought of thee. Preciously, I will treasure my heart, for it has given me the vision of thee. Gratefully, I will own my life with the crown of bliss, for it has brought me to thy gate. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Thank you.